יושב יעקב בארץ מגורי אביו, בארץ כנען. Our parasha, starting with Yaakov Avinu, with sitting in Eretz Knan, Knanite. And then the Torah says the children or the toledot of Yaakov Avinu is Joseph. And the question is, how can we say that Jacob is he only the toledot of Yaakov? He's only the son of Yaakov Avinu. What about the rest? What about all the 10 other tribes? Yeah. The Torah is saying that Yaakov Avinu and Joseph, they used to look like. And Yaakov Avinu used to look like Adam HaRishon, Adam, in Garden of Eden. And Yosef, everything that happened to Yaakov Avinu happened to Yosef. Just like Yaakov Avinu, his brother was chasing him, running after him to kill him. In the same way, the brothers of Yosef was trying to kill him. And so things that happened to Yaakov Avinu had to run, and he was 20 years at Lavan in Haran. Lavan, Arami, the Aramaic Lavan. In the same way, Yosef went to Egypt. He was basically away from his home and from his father, and the Rashi is saying that because Yaakov Avinu didn't have mitzvah kabedet avicha v'timecha, didn't honor his father and his mother for 22 years, then that's why the same thing happened to Yosef, that he was away from him for 22 years since he left. When he left, when he was sold to Egypt, he was at the age of 17. And when when Yaakov Avinu met him, he met him at the age of 39, which is exactly 22 years after. So the similarity between Jacob and Joseph is because that's why the Torah is saying, Ele toldot Yaakov Yosef. And we have to understand that Yosef, he, because of what Reuven was doing, that he replaced the bed of his father that was at Bilhah tent, and he took the bed from the tent of Bilhah and put it at Leah tent when Rachel Imenu died. Because he wanted his father will honor Leah, not the servant, which is Bilhah. He thought that she's a servant, and therefore he's supposed to honor the mothers, which is Leah. At least if Rachel is not alive no more, then because of his sin that he committed, then Yosef become the eldest, and he took the blessing of the eldest son instead of Reuven, which was the eldest before. Ele toldot Yaakov Yosef ben 17 shana, was 17. Haya roe techa batzon, and who he was a na'ar. Let's say na'ar.
A youth.
He was a youth. At Bnei Bilhah, Bnei Zilpa. He used to be with Bilhah. And Rashi say why he was treating Bilhah and Zilpa as the women of his father, because he considered them mothers. Bilhah raised him mostly, and he was with her after Rachel died. So And he considered her as one of the mothers, not as a servant. And he now at Bnei Bil'ah, at Bnei Zilpah, and Sha'aviv. And his brothers used to consider them as a servant. But he considered them not as a servant, but rather as the mother of his, just like the other mothers, like Rachel and like Leah. And he was talking badly about his brothers. That's what the Torah says. Now, I want to emphasize on that scripture because according to the Torah is clearly saying that he was saying bad things. So he is to blame because he was saying bad things about his brothers. But the point is that Rav Pinchas Scheinberg, one of the Mekubalim in the old city of Jerusalem, was saying that the brothers, when they sold, before they sold Joseph to Egypt, before they put him in the bowl, you say it in the bowl.
In the well.
Before they put him in the well. We have to first of all to understand what's going on. What's the problem with those brothers? They're holy people. How can the fathers of the tribes can do commit such a crime? What they have in mind? The point is that what they have in mind is that since Abraham Avinu had Ishmael on one side and he had also Isaac, so one of them was holy and the other one was not. One of them is just like the cover of the fruit and the other one was the fruit itself. Isaac was the fruit. And Ishmael was the cover of the fruit, kind of a klipa, you say. And the same thing with Isaac. Isaac have Jacob and Esav. Esav was a klipa, the cover of the fruit, and then the fruit itself was Jacob. So they thought that that Yosef, when he speak bad about them, is trying to say to them that he is the fruit, and they are the klipa, the cover, and he's supposed to get the blessing of Abraham and Isaac, and to be a continuation of the blessing of the father, and they supposed to be, you know, out of the blessing, just like Esav, just like Ishmael, and then there was a fight between them because the brothers thought the opposite. They thought that since he is speaking bad about them, then he is probably the cover, and they are the fruit. So who will continue the nation of Israel and to fulfill the blessing of Abraham and the promises that God promised to Abraham and Isaac? Who gonna be from who God will create the holy nation? Either from Joseph or from them. So there was a fight about it. They didn't know, and Hashem didn't allow them to know the truth, that basically they're all holy. And since Yosef was talking bad about them, then and the Torah is saying that, so we have to understand what exactly they were saying. He was saying to his father. Was saying to his father that they have women, Gentile women, and they're committing, you know, sins with Gentile women. And he was saying that they're eating ever min achai. They're not slaughtering the animal at all. They were just eating ever min achai. And another thing, they were, talking bad about the servant, about Bilhah and about Zilpa. And he, since he was raised by Bilhah, he was considering Bilhah and Zilpa as the mothers, just like the women of Isaac. So they were suspicious about what was the truth. He didn't understand exactly what they were doing. They used to use Sefer Yetzirah that Avraham Avinu wrote it. It's a book that they used to create miraculously animals that didn't need to be slaughtered, or ben pkua. They used to eat ben pkua, which is it's a when we have a cow or an animal that is being pregnant, and when you slaughter the mother, then you don't need to slaughter the baby. So he didn't understand exactly what they were doing. They were holy, so that's why they consider themselves as righteous. And they thought that because he's speaking bad about them, that probably he is the klipa, he is the outsider that's supposed to get the curse, and they're going to get the blessing. And the problem is that Yosef, since he didn't understand what they were doing, there is a marit ayin. Marit ayin, when you do something, you have to know that other people will see you and will not understand and think that you're committing sin. And they were supposed to consider that, but they didn't. They did what they did, and he was telling to his father in order to correct them, to direct them to the right place, to lochiach otam, you say, to criticize them in order to make them repent, make them do a tshuva. But since Yaakov Avinu, he loved Rachel Imenu, he loved her the most. She was the main akeret habayit, say, ikar habayit. And all the love that he had, and all the compassion and the love that he had towards Rachel, he directed after she died to Yosef, and he made a special kutonet, special clothing to him. And then they start to be jealous, and they thought to themselves, maybe Yaakov thinking that he is the main, that he is trying to deceive his father by saying bad things about them, and maybe he's going to be able by the end to deceive his father because he loved him the most. So he's going to take the blessing just like Jacob took the blessing from Esau. So they start to hate him for that. And then when Yosef start to dream his dreams, the first dream and the second dream, and he was telling them first, and then Rashi is saying, after telling them first, he was telling them telling his father before them, and they start to be jealous that he's going to be the ruler and the king over them. With two different kind of dreams. And his father, when he was telling that the stars and the sun and the moon are bending before him, the second dream that he had, then his father told him, "What are you talking about? I mean, your mother died." So that could not be. But Rashi is saying that he was referring to Bilhah that raised him as a mother of him. And and Aviv Shamar Tadavar. And our Chazal was studying from that point that In any dream, there is few things that are false things, some untruth matters, because dvarim betelim, you say, because Rachel was not alive. So Hashemesh v'yareach, the sun and the moon represent the mother and the father, and his mother already was not alive, so that could not be. But again, Rashi is saying that according to the Midrash, that the things are referring to Bilha, and the truth, the dream become true. Baruch Haim HaKadosh is saying something very, I would say very important. He was saying that there is an argument, there is a debate, let's say, machloket, let's put it like that, between Arif and Rambam. Arif and Rambam. The Rambam is saying that when a man to take his servant and he have her to have a baby, then the baby is become a slave. He's a slave unless he declare that he release the servant. But Arif saying no, he's saying automatically when the owner taking the servant and is with her and is having a baby, is automatically by doing such a thing, he release her, and she is a free woman. She become a woman of him instead of a servant, and her son is not a slave no more. He's a free man. So Joseph, he thought just like the Rif, but basically the Bilha and Zilpah, they're the women of Jacob, and the sons of the servant of Bilha and Zilpah, they're free men, just like the other brothers. So therefore he was treating them just like the other brothers, and he, especially when he was mainly raised by Bilha, and so he was talking good about them just like all the other brothers, and he treat them as equal. But the other brothers, the son of Leah and the sons of Leah and the son, they treat them just like Rambam saying. The Rambam is saying that since a man that doesn't declare ahead of time, before he do the action, before he do, he take the servant and is with her, that he is releasing her. So therefore, they're just like a slave, any other slave. So therefore, those all the other children, they're not equal, and the servant are still servant. But the point is that the Ochaim is saying that that's what Joseph, Yosef, that's what he thought. But the brothers the brothers were saying, okay, how can you think that way when it comes to Jacob? Because Jacob is a righteous, and obviously he didn't do such a thing without releasing the servant. So therefore they're not supposed to be. So you think that that's what we think, but we don't think that way. That's why the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is saying that they were blaming Yosef for thinking that about Yaakov, which is a righteous man. And the argument of the Rambam and Arif doesn't refer to Jacob, Yaakov Avinu, maybe to a regular man, but not to Yaakov Avinu, that obviously he released Zilpah and Bilah, and therefore not supposed to be the children of her supposed to be equal, but still they didn't treat them alike. But the question is, how come all the children, including the Asher and Dan and Naphtali and all the children of the servant, how come they were together against Joseph. Since he treated them alike, so how come they together decide to sell him to Egypt? And then the Or Chaim is saying, because when he spoke badly about the brothers, he was talking badly also about the children of the servants of Bilhah and Zilpah, because they used to share with the other brothers the same action. They used to eat like Eder Min HaChai. They look like eating Eder Min HaChai, and they look like having a woman, but they created those women by Sefer HaYetzirah, and there is no all the rules of the Torah doesn't apply to such a creature. And they use also to the point is that the fact that they treated the other brothers the brothers of the of Bilhah and Zilpah was not because of the reason that Joseph thought. That's what now our parasha speaking about Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Our parasha speaking about Yosef on one hand, and the rest of the parasha toward the end speaking about Yehuda. And Yehuda is Mashiach ben David, that coming from him, from his tribe, from Judah, and Mashiach ben Yosef coming from Yosef HaTzadik. Now, and the story of the Torah, is it something that we have to do in our generation, something to do with that? Of course, obviously the Torah doesn't speak about the story because it have nothing to do with us. By the end of time, there is two different kind of Mashiach that will come, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, to redeem the nation and to redeem the world. And that's why the first Rashi of the Torah is saying something very important. He's saying that why exactly the Torah start with the Toldot Yosef, the children of Yaakov, you know? Because the other parasha, Parashat Vayishlach, ending with the children of Esav, the children of Esav, and after talking about the children of Esav, then the Torah want to speak about the children of Yaakov Avinu. Why and why is that? Bet Yaakov, the Sefer Ovadia, the prophet, is saying, "Vaya bet Yaakov esh, ubet Yosef leava, ubet Esav lekash." There is a spark that coming out of Joseph, and is burning out all the children of Esav. So that's why we start with Yosef HaTzadik. And Rashi is saying in the beginning, the Torah is talking about the children of Adam HaRishon and basically escaping the 10, speaking fastly about the generations till Noah, which is after 10th generation, and then speaking in a rush about the another 10 generations from Noah to Abraham Avinu, and then starting to talk about Abraham Avinu widely, and again till we come to Yaakov Avinu. And why is it? It's like the Rashi saying that when you have a diamond in the sand, then when you start to shake the, how do you say, the net in order to find the diamond, you know, among the sand, then Avraham Avinu is just like a diamond that the Torah speaking about, searching for the diamond, or searching for Jacob, or searching for, and taking on the rest generations that in between, that they're not important, just like and it's the same thing that somebody that have a lot of you say pishtan, so pishtan,
flax.
Have a lot of store of flax, and a camel with flax, and he's entering to a store that have pecham. Let's say pecham. A store that have, you know, when you put inside the stove, you put a pecham. You say pecham. Not the ashes. The black.
The charcoal.
Charcoal.
Yeah.
Okay. When you enter to the store of a charcoal, and then a spark of fire come out of it, and they burn up all the
fuel.
No, all the charcoal. No, all the flax. All the flax. In the same way, Jacob, Joseph, that coming. It's a spark that burning up all Esav generations by the end of time. So it's an allegory that the Rashi is using. That's why Ele Toldot Yaakov Yosef. That's why they speak about. Now we have to understand that Yosef also looked like Adam HaRishon, because Jacob used to look like his profile looked like Adam HaRishon. Like Adam, and in the same way, Joseph looked just like Adam HaRishon. We have also to understand another thing in the parasha. So he was talking badly about them, and since he spoke about three things, claiming against them that they're slaughtering, don't slaughter animals, they're eating without slaughtering. Therefore, when the brothers of Yosef, when they throw him to the well, so they took his clothing, ktonet pasim. And they draw it, and they dip it into the blood of a lamb. Why? Because he claimed against them that they were used to eat without slaughtering. So therefore, in the same
they loved it
without slaughtering. They didn't slaughter. Why? Because it was from Sefer Yetzirah. When they created the animal with the Sefer Yetzirah, so they don't need to slaughter the animal.
But when they dip the clothing,
when the brothers dip the kutonet pasim, the clothing of Yosef, in the blood, so they did slaughter. Yeah. So that's why Rashi is saying it's once against the other. Because you spoke badly about them, and you say something bad about the fact that they didn't slaughter, therefore they slaughter when they start to deceive, try to deceive their fathers. And another thing, because he was saying about a woman, about that they were with a Gentile woman, therefore the occasion of what's her name? Eshet Potiphar. Eshet Potiphar, that was chasing him to be with him. Why that event occur? Because it's one against the other.
Okay.
Because midah keneged midah. So the question is, did he commit a sin by saying something bad about them? So there is no punishment without a sin. Therefore, when he was sold to Egypt, He had to have a sin, but it was Hashem's plan. It was Hashem's plan, but yet he had certain type of a sin. But it's not the sin that they blamed him for. That's why Rav Pinchas Scheinberg is saying that the tribes, when they judge Joseph, they took the Shekhinah with them together, and judge Yosef, Din Rodef, you said Din Rodef.
Pursuit of justice.
Again?
Pursuit of chase after justice.
Yes, of justice. Really? Pursuit of justice. Yeah. So they judge him as a pursuit of justice. So, but that was not true, because they knew the entire law of the Torah about the pursuit of justice, but they didn't look about reality to see that Joseph is not pursuit of justice. He's not. Chasing them. They knew all the Torah. Torah temet natan lanu. Hashem gave us the Torah, and the Torah is truth. But a judge is not supposed to judge according to the Torah only, but about reality as well. You have to search reality in order to know when to apply reality, when to apply the law of the Torah about reality. And what they did is, okay, there is no punishment without a sin. So he committed a sin, but it was not the sin that deserves such a thing. So that's why they were to blame. They were to blame because they thought that he is he's doing something. He committed a crime against them, and Tzidi Batam Ra, because he's a Din Rodef, but he was not Rodef. He was not a Rodef. He was not chasing them. He saw something, and it was a Marit Ayin. That's what he saw. He didn't understand what exactly he's looking at, and he was a youth at that time, and he came to his father to tell him that they're not doing the righteous thing in order for their father to correct them and to criticize them to correct them. So they will not be the klipa, so they will be part of a holy nation, but they thought that he is trying to take them out of the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not to be the continuation of the holy nation, and they will be just like Esau and just like Ishmaelite. So that's why they and why that happened? Because Hashem have a plan, and he make them not understand one another in order to take the nation to Egypt, because that was the plan that Hashem promised to Avraham Avinu, Brit Ben HaBetarim, the covenant of Ben HaBetarim, and he promised to Avraham Avinu that he will give him the land of Israel, Eretz Israel, but not yet, because the sin of the Amorite are not being filled yet. So first of all, they had to go and to be in Egypt. And why is it? Because Adam HaRishon, when he committed the ancient sin, for 130 years, Zohar is saying that he used to give birth to demons through his Zera Levatala, we say it. Okay? So all those bad spirits and demons that was created by Adam Rishon, they have a spark of life that we have to fix, and that the ancient sin, and therefore they had to go to Egypt, because all those sparks was in Egypt, in order to take all those holy sparks out of Egypt. So they had a mission to correct the ancient sin. So the holy nation is supposed to, the nation of Israel, the Israelites have to go to Egypt to You want Avraham Avinu, you declare that you want to fix the ancient sin of the tree of knowledge. Okay, let's create, the Hashem saying to Avraham Avinu, let's create a nation out of your seeds that will do the mission. And what's the mission? They had to go to Egypt and to correct the ancient sin and to take all the sparks, all the holy sparks from Egypt. And that's why they had to go to Egypt. So Hashem have a plan. Now, since in order to have a plan, such a plan, but there is no, like I told you, punishment without a sin. So they had to commit a sin, the tribes and Joseph. So, but it was misunderstanding because the sin was not what they thought. He didn't commit the same sin that the tribe was thinking. So that's why, again, and Yosef as well, he committed a sin. He committed a sin, but and that's why he got punishment, but it was not the same thing that the brothers thought about.
And
the opposite. The vice versa.
About them.
Exactly, vice versa as well. So it was a misunderstanding. Okay, now, if you remember the story that Asara Ruge Malchut, when the Kesar, the Cyrus, the Caesar of Rome, when he asked the Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, and all the Rabbi Akiva, all the 10 people that got all the wise rabbis, 10 rabbis that got murdered by the Kesar, and so he asked them if somebody stole his brother and he sold him, stole a man and he sold him, what's the Torah is saying? So they told him, Gonev Ishum Charo Mot Yumat. So Gonev Ishum Charo Mot Yumat, and therefore he told them, look, since your forefathers, the 10 tribes of Israel, till now, there was no righteous people like you. And since they didn't get the punishment for selling their brother to Egypt, then I'm going to punish you. Well, the question is, what Hashem plan? What exactly happened here? Why they had to get the punishment according to Hashem? And another question, okay, so what the story they told to Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, okay, please take Efer Paraduma, dust of a red cow, and purify yourself and go to heaven and ask Hashem what's going on. And then the Gemara is telling us the story that he rose up to Akatrikel and he asked him behind the veil. You ask him if that's a something that Hashem commanded, or it's a gzerah from Hashem, or they're gonna turn Rome to dust by Shem Hashem Mefurash, by speaking out the Shem Hashem Mefurash. There is a possibility. We have to understand that each generation there is one person that his potential to be the Messiah. And only one person know the Shem Hashem, the Mefurash, which is not only Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is 1,005 letters, and not everyone know about it. It's only one in each generation that Hashem revealing to him his real name, and he has the potential to be Messiah. And if the time of the redemption is come, he will reveal himself and will do miracles, and will be able to kill with his mouth, okay? Ubruch sfatav yomit rasha, with his lips, will kill the evil. And since they knew, those 10 people, 10 righteous people, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, the president, Rabban Gamliel, they knew, one of them knew the Shem Hashem Meforash, either Rabbi Akiva, Rabban Gamliel, or Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. So they ask whether it's from Hashem, and then they have to accept it upon them, or to turn Rome to dust by saying Shem Hashem Meforash. The point is that when Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol asked Hashem, and he told him, Makatrikel, and he told him, look, you accept it. Please accept it. It's to, you are the incarnation of those 10 tribes that you committed the sin at the ancient time, and you're supposed to get upon you the punishment in order to fix the ancient sin of selling your brother Joseph at that time. Now, the point is that Hashem wants to purify the nation of Israel for the judgment day by the end of time. From selling Joseph to Egypt. But at the same time, Hashem wants the Caesar, the Caesar of Rome, was not supposed to know such a thing. He did it out of evil inclination, intention. So he's supposed to get punishment. So basically Hashem wants that at the end of time, the judgment day, Rome will get 10, how do you say, makot, esa makot, 10 plagues. Okay, plagues?
Plagues.
Plagues? Mm-hmm. 10 plagues. By the end of time. And that's exactly what Rabbeinu Bechaye is saying in Parashat Bo, that by the end of time, he have a proof that Rome will get, Edomite will get 10 plagues by the end of time, Dam, Tzfardea, Kinim, just like in Egypt, because anything that happened will occur again by the end of history, to Rome. And what exactly what's Rome is all about? Who is Rome now nowadays? But basically, we speak about the Edomite, which is the Western civilization, but the head of it is the Vatican. What exactly there is in Rome? The Vatican. So that's what the Ramban is saying. Like I told you in the last lesson, that Ramban is saying that by the end of time, the Messiah will go to Rome, to the Pope, and tell him, let my people go. And he will tell him that he doesn't know Hashem, and he will hit him with his 10 pledge. So, V'ya bet Yaakov le'esh, u'bet Yosef le'ava, v'dalku b'machalu. Now, there is a question. We have here two different Messiah, son of Joseph, son of Judah, and who is fighting whom? Is Joseph supposed to fight Esav, the Edomite, and Judah is supposed to fight with Ishmael, or the opposite? What's going on? And according to what Rashi is saying here, Joseph, son of Joseph, he's a spark that's supposed to burn up the Esav. So, but the Zohar is saying something else. The Zohar is saying, because Joseph, what he did is he say, it's Levet Yadav.
Oh, he switched
the boys. So he switched his hands. Wow. And Ephraim and Menashe. By doing it, the Zohar is saying that in the evil side, in the dark side of the world, then the left side is the strong side. But in the holy side, the right side is a Yamin Hashem Osachai. And also in the right side, in the holy side, the male is much stronger. And in the left side, then the female, she is more strong than the male. So what he's saying, by crossing his hand and changing his hand, what he did is Judah, that is Mashiach ben David, which is the strong in the holy side, he was supposed to fight with the left side of the dark side, which is the Edomite. And Yosef, that he is the Mashiach ben Yosef, which is the left side of the holy, which less important than Mashiach ben David, he's supposed to fight with the Ishmaelite. And that's what the Midrash is saying. Malkut Reuveni is saying, "Kum Mashiach ben Ephraim v'aseh mishpat v'parsim arshayim arim b'lalu." Hashem is saying, by the end of time, raise son of Ephraim, which is Mashiach ben Yosef. Ephraim is the son of Joseph, and make a judgment on the Persian. The Persian represent the Persian kingdom represent the Ismailite. So therefore, according to in simple way, when we see Rashi, there is a contradiction between the Zohar and the Rashi, but the point is that there is no contradiction, because during the exile, then son of Joseph, Yosef, he is the one that fighting the Edomite, and because his son was an exile in Europe, and they deal usually with the Edomite, and the son of Judea of Judah, they're more on an exile to the other side to the east side of the world. So it's a crisscross, let's put it like that. So by the end of time, the Messiah son of David will deal with the Amalekites. That's what the Rambam is saying, Elchot Melachim, Perek Yud Alef, Halacha Daled, the Messiah will make a tshuva, will cause to the nation of Israel to repent, and he will deal with Amalekite by the end of time. But during the exile time, then just like Mordechai from the tribe of Binyamin, and who's going to deal with the Edomite? That's the son of Joseph. But Joseph is dealing with the children of Esav, and by the end, Jacob. That's why we say in our parasha, "Ele toldot Yaakov Yosef." There is a difference between Israel and Jacob. If we say "Ele toldot Yaakov," we say Yosef, and if we say "Ele toldot Israel," we say Yehuda. Why? Because Israel means head. Li Rosh. Israel is Li Rosh. That's the head, and Jacob, that's the Akev. So during the exile, we are just like the Akev, the feet, and we are being able to get by during the exile time. But and so Joseph is the son of Jacob, but Yehuda is a son of Israel. And if you remember what happened in the Parashat Vayishlach, then we remember that the minister of Esav, which is the devil himself, he gave the name of Israel to Jacob when he fight with him. Why? Because that's the name that will defeat the Edomite, and the minister of Esav and the devil by the end of time. Okay, so we're going to end up the lecture here. I hope it was I was understood. I hope I was clear. If you have any questions, then you can ask. If there's any question? Okay, thank you for listening. And
thank you.
We'll see you next week, Bezat Hashem.
Maybe people will write their questions.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.